Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
We are in the middle of last week, we started looking at the value and the significance that we have because of who we are in Jesus, right? Last week, we looked at the fact that you are God's workmanship, His masterpiece, right? Literally, God designed you with a perfect balance of form and function, right? In functionality, He designed you specifically, exactly the way you are, to accomplish the specific tasks that He has prepared for you, even from before your salvation. And He has formed you uniquely to glorify God in the way that He uses the Holy Spirit to brush His characteristics, the characteristics of His Son Jesus, onto your heart. He has made you His masterpiece. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love that. That's so cool. Well, today I'm going to show you another aspect of the value that Jesus gives you because you are in Him. And to do that, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to be part of something big? Like something really big, something that has something that will affect and influence and help people that are much bigger than just your own sphere of life, right? That's something that's really interesting to have, right? To know that I have a way to live my life in a way that I get to be part of something that's just beyond me, something that's great, something that will have a lasting effect that even lasts beyond my area of influence, beyond my life here on earth. Well, did you know that because you are in Jesus, you get to have an active role in one of the biggest, far-reaching missions in the history of mankind? Think about that. Jesus literally lets you be part of His rescue mission that helps people all around the world. This mission doesn't just have its effect that lasts for just a few years, not even just 100 years or even 1,000 years. The effect of His mission will last for all eternity, and you get to be part of it. What are we talking about? Well, before we continue, I want to think about something real quick. And maybe this is something that will be a reminder for you too. Just a few weeks ago, in Japan, we remember the 10th anniversary of the great earthquake in March 11, 10 years ago, we had a massive earthquake and a tsunami that took the lives of many, many people. And after the disaster, there were many people who came together from all over the world who volunteered to do whatever they could to help those who had lost their homes, those who had lost their families, even those who had lost all hope. It was literally a worldwide mission to give help and to give hope to those who needed it massively, to those who needed it so badly. Maybe you had a part in volunteering and to help in that great mission to help those who had lost everything, who had no hope. By God's grace, I also had to have a small part of it. And I can't tell you, oh, it's just so amazing to see the look of joy and thankfulness on those people's face who I literally just handed them a small bag of rice or a warm blanket, and to see their response of joy and thankfulness, it was such an amazing thing that I got to be a part of that. Maybe, although what I did wasn't that much, maybe it offered them a little bit of hope to continue to keep going, to keep persevering. To think that I got to be part of offering them hope is an amazing thing. I'll cherish that. The things that they had to go through were horrible, and the devastation that I saw was extremely difficult to see and even harder to imagine what they had to go through. And even in that, to have a chance to offer those who needed it a spark of hope was something that was amazing. Well, in a similar way, Jesus lets you to be a part of a rescue mission that gives people an indescribable hope as well. And that is what we're going to look at today. So here's the question. What is this mission of hope that we're talking about? And what is your role in that mission? Those are the things we're going to look at. And to find the answer, we're going to have a look at a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. It's amazing how all of these different conversations with Jesus' disciples directly affect us, isn't it? This time, we're not going to the evening before Jesus' crucifixion, before the Lord's Supper. We're going to go to a few days before that, where Jesus and his disciples were having a conversation on the Mount of Olives. Now, in this conversation, they had been in Jerusalem and they had talked about Jerusalem, and Jesus had told them that Jerusalem was not going to last. That sparked their curiosity, and the disciples asked Jesus, well, when is the end going to come? Of course, Jesus didn't tell them when the end was going to come, but he did give them some warning signs about what to expect when the end did come. And it did not sound good at all. Jesus told them of what to expect: famines, earthquakes, even hatred and betrayal, all kinds of horrible things that were going to happen. But in the middle of these warnings, Jesus tells them about one amazing thing that is going to happen before the end of the world comes. I want you to take a look at it. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 is where we will begin our study. Matthew 24, 14 says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Isn't that amazing? Jesus said that before the end comes, the gospel is going to be proclaimed throughout the whole world to all nations. It was this gospel, the good news of Jesus' sinless life, his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, the news of the gift of salvation that would bring life and hope to everyone who would receive this gospel, right? This was Jesus' great mission. It was to share the gospel, to bring the message of salvation to the ends of the world, to all that would hear it. Jesus would make sure that the gospel would reach all that would hear it. So the question is, how would Jesus accomplish this mission? Well, first, Jesus had to do the hard part. He was the one who actually made salvation possible, right? He was the one who lived a sinless, perfect, completely perfect life, a life that we could not live. He was the one who conquered sin and death. He was the one who died for us on the cross, and he was the one who rose again victorious over sin and death. Without Jesus having done that, there would be no mission. There would be no mission of hope. It's the fact that Jesus did this that we have life, that we have hope, right? Praise him for that. Oh, God is so good. Jesus is so good. We have life. We have hope because of what Jesus has done for us. He has done the hard part of his mission, his plan to accomplish giving life and hope to those who would receive it. So, now that Jesus has done the hard part, what is his plan to accomplish? Well, we just read in Matthew, to take the message, to share, take the gospel to the rest of the world. Well, in order to find that, we need to fast forward a little bit to the last conversation that Jesus had with his disciples before he ascended into heaven. So before he left, he told them their role in this great mission of life and hope. We find this conversation in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Jesus says this, talking to his disciples. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." The final thing that Jesus told his disciples before he ascended into heaven was this. He was revealing to them the important role that they would have in his great mission of life and hope. He was letting them know. He was like basically saying, hey, guys and gals, listen to what I have to tell you before I leave. This is my last thing I'm going to tell you. You are going to be my witnesses. And in doing so, you're going to share my mission of salvation, share salvation to those in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and literally to the ends of the earth. That is my calling, my role that I have for you to accomplish. That was their role in Jesus' great mission, to be his witnesses to those around them. And since that conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, starting with the disciples, the gospel of life and hope has continued to be proclaimed from one person to the next, from one generation to the next, to people all throughout the world, including you and me. Praise God for that. Here's the amazing thing, though. It doesn't stop with us. The amazing thing is that you and I, as those who have received this good news, those who have been given life and hope in Jesus, we have also been given this amazing role of continuing the mission, of carrying on the mission to those around us, to be a witness of Jesus to those around us. We get to have a part in this epic generation, multi-generational mission of giving life and hope to those to the ends of the earth, to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's an amazing thing. That's something big. That's something that lasts way beyond our lifetime. So, to understand our role, to understand what it means to be a witness, it's helpful to understand what exactly a witness is. What does it mean to be a witness? To put it simply, there are basically two requirements of being a witness. There are two things that a witness must have in order to officially be a witness. All right. The first thing that a witness must have is this. A witness must be someone who has seen, heard, or experienced something. Somebody who has either seen, heard, or experienced something. If there's an accident and a policeman comes up to you and says, hey, did you see anything that happened over this accident? And you say, no, I haven't seen a thing. Well, did you hear anything? Nope. Haven't heard a thing. Did you experience anything relating to this accident? Not a thing. Guess what? You will probably not be any kind of a good witness. Does that make sense? You can't be a witness without having seen, heard, or experienced something. That's the first requirement. The second requirement is this. A witness is someone who tells someone else what he has seen, heard, or experienced. In other words, if you don't tell somebody about it, you aren't really a witness. You may have seen, heard, or experienced something, but unless you actually tell that to somebody, you're not fulfilling the role that is required of a witness. You aren't a witness. Both aspects are important. Both are important requirements. Does that make sense? All right, so we see what it means to be a witness, and now we can actually see these two aspects being played out in the lives of the disciples and others in the Bible. And I want to kind of show you a little bit of what we're talking about here. Let's think about the disciples, the ones who Jesus said, hey, you guys are going to be my witness, right? They literally saw Jesus. And I'm kind of envious of that, to be honest with you. Man, that's really cool that they get to see Jesus here on earth. What? You know, they saw what it means for Jesus to have a perfectly sinless life. They saw how he loved others, including themselves, with a perfect love. They saw his power to heal people, the power he had to heal people, to perform miracles, even the power he had over demons and nature itself. They not only saw it, some cases they experienced how that power over nature, they experienced it themselves. They heard the things that he taught, the things that Jesus said about himself. They heard the things that Jesus said that were going to happen in the future, and they experienced those things actually taking place. They saw that Jesus was the Son of God, the divine King of all kings. They saw him conquer death, not only by raising people from the dead, but also rising from the dead himself. Something we're going to get to remember here in just a few weeks as Easter comes closer and closer. So these are the things that the disciples saw, heard, and experienced concerning Jesus. That's the first requirement. Second requirement, then as his witnesses, they simply told those around them exactly what they saw, exactly what they heard, exactly what they experienced. And they started, like Jesus said, in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, they would tell anyone who would be willing to listen to them to the things that they saw and they heard, the things that they heard. And in doing so, it caused a lot of problems. It drove the religious leaders mad, so much so that they captured them, brought them before the council, and said, "You guys, stop." We see this conversation in Acts. We were in verse chapter 1. Let's skip down to chapter 4. Acts 4, verses 18 through 20. And they, the religious leaders, called them, basically Peter and John, called them and commanded them to not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Cut it out. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered them and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You can be the judge of that." Verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Isn't verse 20 an absolutely perfect description of what it means to be a witness? We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The disciples weren't the only ones who were witnesses. There were so many who believed in Jesus who themselves became witnesses. Like, for example, take Paul, for example. Look at one of the first things that Ananias, when Paul became a Christian, one of the first people who came to Paul was a guy named Ananias. And this is what Ananias said to Paul. Now we're going to jump to Acts 22. Acts 22 and verse 14 and 15. Ananias says this to Paul. He says, and he said, he being Ananias, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, Paul, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what? Of what thou hast seen and heard." Paul, you're going to be a witness. You're going to witness the things of Jesus that you have seen and heard. So what did Paul do? He literally became Jesus's witness. He went throughout all of the region of the Gentiles, proclaiming to the Jew first and also to the Gentile all of the glorious graces of Jesus, his salvation story, the gospel of Jesus, right? And in fact, he reminds the church in Corinth of literally what he has done, of his witnessing. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 says this, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, "For I delivered unto you, I witnessed to you, first of all, that which I also received." The things I received, I delivered to you. The things I saw and heard, I gave to you too. What were those things? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He's a witness of Jesus in proclaiming the gospel. So just as the disciples, just as Paul and others in the Bible were witnesses of Jesus to those around them, so are you a witness of Jesus to those around you. and so am I a witness to those around me. We, you and I, also share the things that we have. This is what we do. We share the things of Jesus that we have seen and heard and experienced to those around us, right? The things that you've experienced because of the gospel, because you are in Jesus, you get to share that with those around you. You get to have a role in Jesus's mission of life and hope. You get to accomplish the role of being a witness. You may be thinking, well, Pastor Steve, yeah, time out for a second. In all honesty, I am not very good at talking to people. I do not feel comfortable doing that. And, you know, maybe it's this, you know, Pastor Steve, I haven't been a Christian for that long. There's so much I don't know about the Bible. Really and truly, I need to know more about the Bible in order for me to become a witness. Have you ever felt that way? I'm not good at it. Have you ever thought that? I know I have. But here's the amazing thing. Even in this role that Jesus gives you as his witness, he does not expect you to do it in your own strength. He does not expect you to do it in your own strength. Whether you feel like you can or whether you feel like you can't has no bearing on whether you actually can. How can I say that? Go back to Acts 1, because it tells us. Here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. In this conversation, Jesus has told the disciples to wait until something happens. Acts 1, verse 8 says this. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In another passage, Jesus tells the disciples to just wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Don't do anything. Just wait for 10 days. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then just go to town. That's basically what Jesus says. Literally, Jesus tells the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because even in their role of witnesses, Jesus does not expect them to do it in their own strength, like I just said. So he gives them the Holy Spirit to help them. Okay, think about this for a second. If there is anybody who is qualified, the most qualified to be a witness of Jesus, who would it be? I personally think it would be the disciples. This is just my opinion, but I think the disciples have a pretty good criteria for being witnesses of Jesus. They're the ones who actually saw Jesus in their lives. They're the ones who saw Jesus living out a life of sinlessness. They're the ones who saw Jesus doing all of these different miracles and seeing Jesus's death, his burial. They saw Jesus resurrect. And yet, even with all of their qualifications of being a witness, Jesus tells them, don't wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and then be my witnesses. Why? Because it doesn't matter whether you think you can or whether you think you can't. What is required for you to be a witness of Jesus is the help that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. We cannot do the role of being a witness in our own strength. Nobody can, not even the disciples. Everybody needs the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness. That means that you do too. And so don't use your weaknesses as an excuse, because they don't really matter when it comes to telling others about being a witness. So what does this mean for us? Even as you obey Jesus in being a witness, trust that the Holy Spirit's power is working through you. Obey him by being a witness and trust Him that the Holy Spirit's power is working through you. When you obey, trust the Holy Spirit to replace your heart of fear with a heart of boldness, of love, and of a sound mind. Trust Him to give you the words to say. And remember this, often He will use what we see as stumbling sentences to help others to see the message of Jesus. Know that as you talk to others, the Holy Spirit is confirming to them, to the listening person, that your witness is true. He's standing right beside you, convicting the person of who Jesus is. Remember that. As you obey, as you follow the role that Jesus has given you to be a witness, remember that Jesus gives you the help you need to accomplish that through His Spirit in you, giving you the power to accomplish His task. Remember this. We'll close with this. The eternal life that is in you is real. That life that you have within you, it's real. It's not fake. It's real. And that life is precious. Because the eternal life within you is real, that also means that the hope that is within you is also real. It's a real hope because the life that that hope is resting on is real. Your role as a witness in Jesus's great mission, that means that your role is incredibly important because you are a deliverer of real life and real hope in being a witness. Jesus made sure that everything that you need is fully prepared for you to have your part in sharing that life and hope. So listen to what Peter says for us as Jesus' witnesses. He says in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. As one who is in Christ, you get to be a witness. So share Jesus with somebody around you. You never know. You just never know. One person's eternal destiny may be changed forever because you fulfilled your role as a witness of Jesus, because you simply shared what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced concerning the gospel of Jesus that has changed you, that has given you life and hope. And in sharing that with those around you, who knows that somebody else's eternal destiny might be changed forever because you were willing to do that. That is awesome. The role we have, because you are in Jesus, you are a witness. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the role that you have allowed us to have. For some reason, in this great mission, this all-important mission, this life-giving mission, this mission that'll change the eternity of those who become recipients of this mission, for some reason, by your grace, you have allowed us to have a part in it. Thank you for entrusting us with this role. Father, help us to see the privilege and the responsibility that is ours in sharing the gospel, the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, and the things that we experienced because we are in Jesus. And through us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use us to have an effect, an eternal, lasting effect on those around us. That somehow you would use us to help others to find that same life that someone showed us, to give that same hope that was given to us. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.